The rain in Spain?
Well, who cares? Frankly, it's the bid for the bourse. That's what's of interest in this week's Exchange Invest Weekly. Welcome to another Exchange Invest Weekly. My name is Patrick L. Young, the founder and indeed publisher of the Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter of the Bourse business. And we have a battle for the Bourse this week. It's BME, the Spanish stock exchange, which operates all of the exchanges in Spain, including derivatives and also, of course, the CSD, Clearing Depository and Clearing House. They are under a pretty staggering bid, actually. Swiss Exchange Group 6 made an all-cash 2.8 billion euro bid for the beleaguered BME, as it truly is. As we were racing to Pixel on Monday, the stock had already reached the 34 euro offer price. That was some, 30-odd% different to where it had closed as we were recording this podcast last Friday. Euronext have been left behind instantaneously. They need to pony up, according to the BME, if they're going to get into the battle. And indeed, who knows, it could yet be a battle royal, because of course, that would give the opportunity for Stefan Buna's empire to unify its way all the way from Portugal right up to through the lowlands, and then also its outer points, of course, in Ireland and Norway. The battle looks very, very interesting indeed. Jost Disselhoff, who used to run Euronext in Amsterdam, clearly has a very exciting plan going forward for the Bourse. It might not even involve delisting the BME stock itself. That sounds very interesting. Could it be they're looking at some sort of an interesting vehicle for the SIX Group to go forward and make acquisitions in the future, given the fact that, of course, the SIX Group are not going to be listing in the near future because of the, well, historically interesting position of the mass duopoly, Credit Suisse and UBS, as well as the many other banks who are held delicately in a state of, well, diplomatic stasis through the current ownership of the SIX Group. Nonetheless, SIX looking dynamic, Disselhoff looking dynamic, and of course, only barely days after he said there were no conversations going on about acquiring the BME, Stefan Buna and Euronext looked pretty flat-footed. This is going to be an interesting development moving on from the Antonio Zoido era because, of course, he stepped down several months ago. Other bidders are in the fray, potentially. Deutsche Börse mentioned as one. It's interesting to see that UBS analysts, Commerzbank analysts and others can't perceive that there's any value to DB1 buying the BME. They can't understand how BME, their sell rating, could be turned around by the Deutsche Börse management through restructuring. Or perhaps that's a telling insight into how, well, even analysts view the management direction of the DB1 C-suite nowadays. I'm not sure that it makes sense for Hong Kong exchanges to be involved. The Hispano-Sino-Hong Kong relations don't strike me as immediately logical, but clearly HKEX could have the money if they want said European base of operations within one country. But it hardly delivers the sensational Trans-Pacific Pact, which was the incredible pivot that could have been delivered if the London Stock Exchange had been listening instead of making eyes only towards Refinitiv. Incidentally, coming up next week, we have the exciting vote on Refinitiv. Will the LSE shareholders all jump in and decide to vote for what is going to be the worst restructuring project in the history of the entire parish in the near future? Coming back to the SIX and BME issue, very, very interesting deal altogether. Any counteroffer, as I mentioned at the start of this segment, for Spanish Stock Exchange would have to top the SIX bid, the BME CEO has stated. And that's obviously going to mean that a lot of people are going to be spending their weekend with their bankers as they decide how much they're going to be bidding. Over in Asia, a melange of stories. Congratulations to the Hong Kong Stock Exchanges. The Hong Kong Exchanges Group are celebrating 5 years of Stock Connect. Quite interesting article in this South China Morning Post. How did Stock Connect overcome a rocky start to become a success? Actually, I have to say it was always obvious to me, so long as China didn't pull the plug, that the through train, as it was once called, later Connect, was always inevitably going to be a huge success. The people who really couldn't see it was the media, who continue to cover their lack of foresight in retrospect, having dismissed the project even after it was already blossoming. Here's to 5 great years of Connect and 5 more fabulous years as it expands, of course, into the bond markets and beyond. Meanwhile, the Germans, they're looking at their own version. There was a conference in Frankfurt this week and Cinex, the Chinese exchange, which is some sort of joint venture with Deutsche Börse, of which we hear relatively little these days, they had a little puff piece out. They're looking for a Shanghai Deutsche Börse Stock Connect program, ultimately, presumably through Cinex itself. Meanwhile, one big IPO this week, and again, it was on Hong Kong exchanges. Hong Kong exchanges have vaulted themselves back into the leading position of IPO markets in the world, thanks to Alibaba choosing Hong Kong for the secondary listing. Despite domestic issues and a little local domestic difficulty, Alibaba picked an auspicious digit for their stock code, and ultimately they have managed a successful $11 billion listing, which has propelled HKEX back into the firmament of leading IPO spot. Fascinating research snippet this week, Nasdaq revealed that there was a 50% spike in paid research triggered by MiFID II. Robinhood, the organization which sells your order flow and tells you it's giving you a free stock trade, they've moved to the UK. They're going to be offering essentially all of their US listings, so therefore you'll be able to buy various UK and European stocks, provided they've got GDRs. Of course, the good thing is at least the UK is enlightened enough not to have payment for order flow and other such grotesque aberrations against the best execution interests of the customer. One new market this week, a series of top diamond firms, and also indeed the Miami International Exchange, as well as the Bermuda Stock Exchange, are backing a business to do a diamond exchange in Bermuda, says it's pioneering. Looks to me rather like a carbon copy of the Singapore Diamond Exchange, that has to be said. Meanwhile, the Russian National Security Depository, they've concluded a new shareholder agreement. Thomson Reuters, they've redeemed approximately US $552 million worth of debt securities early, and an interesting set of results. CMC Markets, the massive alternative broker based out of London, they've shrugged off the regulatory crackdown. As you'll recall, the amount of leverage has been severely reduced on all forms of different products, and indeed there's been a binary option crackdown as well as the CFD leverage reduction. Nonetheless, CMC have shrugged off the regulatory crackdown with a profits boost. In the world of online brokerage, the biggest news of the week, Charles Schwab, dear old Chuck, is reportedly in talks to buy his rival TD Ameritrade. Of course, that's very interesting because what's happened recently? Well, effectively, he looks to be buying TD Ameritrade for pretty much the stock price that it was about a month ago before Charles Schwab Inc. announced that they were going to go down the Robinhood route and effectively offer de facto free, in parentheses, not remotely free, your order flow is being sold and you're getting bad execution, close parentheses, approach of Robinhood, and therefore Schwab, essentially, as it was brilliantly described by the excellent Matt Levine, Schwab broke Ameritrade to buy it in one of his most recent Money Stuff columns in Bloomberg. Interesting news, though. Big rationalization for the online brokerage markets. Elsewhere, XTX Markets have overtaken Citadel Securities and Tower Research as the largest ELP systemic internalizer in Europe. Fascinating altogether. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. No CCP worries this week. In fact, a little bit of CCP good news. The European Union has finally managed to extend for at least a year access to UK clearinghouses for the rest of Europe. Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, this is protectionism. It's an example of dire political will within Brussels, and nobody who actually believes in progressive free markets can honestly say there is any reason why this should not be extended permanently, except for the fact that, of course, the European Union is behaving like a badly spurned spouse. There's only one daily news source for the business of bourses, Exchange Invest, the exchange of information. Exchange Invest publishes the daily digest of everything in the market structure industry around the world in a user-friendly email briefing format from Monday to Friday. With additional pith by former Exchange CEO and long-standing fintech pioneer Patrick L. Young, yes, that's me, Exchange Invest is the unique one-stop shop for the daily news in markets, market operators, and related functions. Exchange Invest is available to subscribers at $200 per user per year or currency equivalent. You can get more details at exchangeinvest.com or email me, patrick@derivativesvision.com. In fees, Nasdaq are going to produce a minor incremental fee increase to fund some of the upgrades to Times Square. Oh, cue hysteria, I suspect, from all manner of the sell side. But seriously, look at this. Nasdaq charges a maximum $155,000 US for the largest listed companies. That's going to rise to, wait for it, $159,000. Let's face it, if the listed companies have so much as the temerity to have a call with their brokers, it probably costs them about $5,000. The problem with listed markets here is not at the exchange. Rather, the bourses are to be applauded for their incredibly low prices. It is the massive range of intermediary costs which need to be controlled. DLT Malta is the book of the blockchain island, consisting of thoughts from leading local advocates and practitioners of the crypto economy, led by the Prime Minister, the Honourable Joseph Muscat MP. DLT Malta is edited by myself, Patrick L. Young, and Joseph Anthony de Bono. The book can be obtained from all leading bookstores worldwide. If you want to understand Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptocurrency, and the broader impact of the distributed ledger, this book is packed with insights and information about the potential for the technology. DLT Malta, Thoughts from the Blockchain Island, is published by DV Books on behalf of the industry association Blockchain Malta, in bookstores now. Cum-Ex, 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 ladies and gentlemen, ABN AMRO's Frankfurt office were raided over Cum-Ex this week as the ongoing crackdown against this disgusting scandal carries on. In people news, the former Irish Stock Exchange boss Deirdre Summers is getting her foothold back in the parish, or at least adjacent to the parish. She's going to be running on the boards as a non-exec of a series of funds on behalf of BlackRock, who've got a significant sized business in the Dublin financial centre. Meanwhile, Girish Chaturvedi is mentioned as being potentially in line for the chairmanship of the National Stock Exchange of India, which has been bereft of a chairman for some months due to their recent co-location scandal. Mr. Chaturvedi is a former petroleum secretary in the Indian government. Over at the Bucharest Stock Exchange, after 8 successful years as chairman, Lucian Angel is standing down. Congratulations to him. He certainly brought, in many ways, the organisation into line after a series of very, very volatile, almost semi-constant war for the chairman's seat before he arrived. Now, Radu Hanga is going to be taking up the post as chairman. He's been formerly advisor to the board of the extremely large domestic bank, the Bank of Transylvania. All the best to Nadex CEO Tim McDermott. He's leaving as there is a massive restructuring from Nadex and also the parent IG Group. In regulation, the SEC chairman, Jay Clayton, has indicated he wants to allow retail investors to buy private securities, especially for their individual retirement accounts. That's an interesting move, progress in many ways, although at the same time, is that not blurring the lines between the relatively free private markets and the highly regulated exchanges? Methinks it certainly doesn't help the equilibrium, and it certainly doesn't help the public markets. That strikes me as being bad for investors and bad for the business overall. In South Korea, they're taking pretty firm legal steps to stamp out unregistered crypto exchanges. If you're a crypto exchange boss without a license, you can face prison up to 5 years and fines of 50 million won. Okay, $45,000 isn't going to make much difference either way, but 5 years in an orange jumpsuit I'm sure isn't fun, whether in Korea or elsewhere. One of the most fascinating stories to come out of the regulatory firmament this week was about LIBOR. The regulator is effectively telling the derivatives industry, go find a LIBOR consensus. Sounds like a very dubious piece of buck passing to me by a group of regulators who haven't managed to get their act together. Somewhat unreasonable in many ways, shapes and forms. Nonetheless, hopefully ISDA, who've been much more capable of effectively self-regulating things such as master agreements in the past, can manage to rise, pick up the baton and actually sort out the things that the world's governmental blob has singularly failed to do. In technology, interesting week for ION. They bought the currency software supplier Market Factory. At the same time, it wasn't going all Andrea Pignataro's way, because we then had news subsequently from Risk magazine that the banks are teaming up for an ION replacement project. A group of European and UK banks are considering building their own fixed income trading software in a move that could allow members to cut ties with ION. Is that a credit risk push or a concern about ION's market domination? Either way, it's clearly a threat to Mr. Pignataro's empire. Elsewhere, Trayport are going to be providing the exchange trading system for the Bulgarian Balkan Gas Hub organised market. Brokers are complaining in India. The NSE faced technical glitches this week. Seems that they've been blaming a bourse vendor for what went on. Elsewhere, the London Stock Exchange have leased primary bid to give retail investors access to share offerings on the same terms as institutional investors, and they also said that LSEG are internally building a new algo validation tool. The American Financial Exchange, a brainchild of the genius Dr. Richard Sandor, have announced that Ameribor is going to be able to trade on the blockchain. Slight concern possibly whether Ethereum is sufficiently scalable, but overall for the cash market, it's certainly an interesting way forward to provide some very, very useful immutable data. The UK watchdog, meanwhile, the FCA, has set a deadline for LIBOR interest rate swaps to move. And of course, that end of LIBOR is creating huge uncertainty, as the Wall Street Journal noted, for the CME's giant Eurodollar market. Russia, in, I suppose, the wake of the Murban announcements the previous week with the announcement of Intercontinental Exchange's Abu Dhabi Exchange venture in partnership with ADNOC and a series of other people in the Emirate, meant that there was a story in the FT on Monday. It was talking about Russia's making its fresh efforts to take control of its oil prices. It will be interesting to see whether SPYMEX, which still has close relations to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, SPYMEX being the St. Petersburg International Mercantile Exchange, will therefore be able to revivify its efforts to take control of its oil price alongside the CME, which also has problems with its Dubai Mercantile Exchange, which now looks somewhat becalmed. Nevertheless, it will be interesting to see what happens with the new auction strategy for Rebco et al. From Russia. Lots of product news this week. I'm only going to pick on a very, very few notes. Alibaba futures and options will be introduced on Hong Kong exchanges as soon as the listing is completed. Hurrah! Fascinating to see the Tokyo Stock Exchange is looking at having some sort of a structural change, partly driven by the regulators as well, looking at a prime market for global blue chips. And moreover, China are looking to fully promote reform of the H-share market. Now that would be radical. Another radical move, China, it is believed, is going to be speeding the launch of rare earth futures contracts, according to the Shanghai Futures Exchange. And Ho Chi Minh's Stock Exchange have unveiled three new stock indexes during the course of the week. Biggest IPO looming, of course, in the wake of Alibaba, which is happening as I speak. The Saudi Aramco stake, they're going to raise, they think now, $25.6 billion. Bit of a disappointment. They were thinking of maybe four times that originally. They were looking at a global offer that got shrunk to effectively a very, very regional offer within little more than the Middle East itself. The valuation as well has been trimmed down to $1.6 to $1.7 trillion, where they were hoping for at least $2 trillion in terms of the overall IPO value of the company, or at least the overall value of the company post-IPO. Aramco is going to be selling, therefore, just 1.5% of its shares on the local stock exchange Tadawul, somewhat less than expected. And clearly, a huge swathe of Western brokers are going to be profoundly disappointed. At the same time, look at it another way. $25.6 billion, that effectively would put you in Young's pyramid of exchanges, somewhere around the market capitalization of the London Stock Exchange Group, the fifth largest company in my pyramid of exchanges itself, denoting the values of all of the markets in the bourse. Interestingly, earlier in the week, we had news that US brokerage TD Ameritrade were exploring ways to enter the sports betting business. Good to see brokers catching up to something I was discussing when Capital Market Revolution was first published in 1999. The opportunities remain immense, albeit, who knows, will Chuck be interested if Charles Schwab buy TD Ameritrade? MTS have launched an electronic trading platform for Cypriot government bonds, and MGEX, the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, they've launched Spikes Futures in collaboration with the Miami Exchange and T3 Index. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of a really rapid gallivant through what was a very exciting week for markets. My name is Patrick L. Young. You can join me on Monday in newsletter form for the Exchange Invest Daily, or I'll be back here podcasting once again with the Exchange Invest Weekly next week. Thanks for listening and have a great week in markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.